I was sharing with Brother John a little something in the break, and he encouraged me to share it with us at the outset, and I'd like to tie it in with this study. Brother John mentioned that in his last three points, he mentioned that that we are to be filled, Ephesians 5:18, filled with the Spirit of God. And then he goes on to share with us the other two points. And the question that comes before us is, how are we filled with the Spirit? I mean, it's a good sentiment. It's much more than a sentiment, but it's an instruction. It's actually a command. It's in the emphatic. It means be filled. It means it's a command for something for us to do. So the question is, how do we do it? How are we filled with the Spirit? We know that the Spirit is mentioned in every chapter in the book of Ephesians. We also know that a parallel book to the book of Ephesians is the book of Colossians. And we often call them sister books. It's interesting to note that in the book of Colossians, that the Spirit of God is not mentioned except for one verse in chapter 1, verse 8, and it's by passing. It's sort of in passing. And so those areas that it says, be ye filled, and Ephesians 5:18, be ye filled with the Spirit. And then when it gives us that instructions, it goes on to talk about our assembly life together, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then it goes on to husbands and wives. And then it goes on to children and parents and children. Then it goes on to employees and employers. And it talks about every aspect of our Christian life. And we're to be filled, and it comes out of that. It flows out of that. All those areas are touched by that command, be filled with the Spirit of God. Question is how? When we turn to the book of Colossians, in chapter 3, we see the same areas are mentioned, with the exception, it doesn't say, be filled with the Spirit. But what it does say, beloved, and everything else flows out of chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's the word of Christ. I like that expression. It's the word of Christ, the anointed one, the one who's the man in the glory. It's the word of Christ speaking to you. Let that word dwell in you richly. And I would suggest to us that that's the Spirit's function. To bring the things of Christ, as we're told in John chapter 16, to bring the things of Christ right home to our hearts and help us live, be controlled, be filled. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And if we're not people of this book, we're not going to be able to do what we've been talking about today. If we're not men and women of this book, and it isn't so much of us getting a hold of the book as much as the book getting a hold of me. That's really the key. And this is what the Spirit of God, and I just want to read in connection with our study now as we lead into it, I just want to read a couple of verses in John's Gospel just to make this passing remark that this is the function of the Spirit of God in our daily lives today. The Spirit of God wants to take the Word of God and really burn it into our hearts and have it affect our lives. And in John chapter 14, I just want to read a couple of verses here and then a couple of verses in John 16, where the Lord Jesus says in verse 26, now earlier in the chapter, he spoke about the Comforter. Another comforter, in other words, one just like me, another comforter. He will ask the Father, and the Father will send. But here in verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, listen to this, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The all things in verse 26, the first one, he will teach you all things. It's been suggested that that's possibly we could look at that as the Old Testament. He will teach you to understand how the Word of God in the Old Testament applies to your daily lives today. But then he goes on to say, and he will teach you all things and will bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. It's been suggested that that's the Gospels. The Gospels. The things that the Lord Jesus spoke to his own disciples. But then, in chapter 16, if you will, in chapter 16, we see something else. He says in chapter 16, in verse, just for sake of time, verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of the things to come. He will guide you into all truth. It's been suggested that possibly that's the epistles, that we could apply that to the epistles, the truth that has been given to us in the New Testament. And then he will guide, he will tell you of the things to come. And that's what still awaits us. And that's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that will follow after he comes. This is the Spirit's function. Spirit doesn't want to draw attention to himself. The Spirit wants to point us to Christ and everything concerning Christ and what Christ has done. The Spirit of God makes much of Christ. And ministry that makes much of Christ thrills our hearts, doesn't it? You see, there's three types of ministry, isn't there? There's ministry of exhortation where the speaker tells you what you're doing wrong. That's probably the easiest type of ministry. Then there's the ministry of edification, where the speaker takes the word of God and lifts you up and encourages your heart. But the third type of ministry takes you right into the presence of the blessed Lord Jesus. And it's the ministry of exaltation, where Christ is set before you. That's what the Spirit of God wants to do. And that's how you can really tell ministry is Christ-centered, and it's ministry of the Holy Spirit. When you hear ministry of that the Holy Spirit, when you come out of the presence of God after being in the Word of God, no one has to tell you, and you don't have to tell anybody else. You've been in the presence of God, they can tell, because that's the work of the Spirit of God, right? And so how beautiful that is. And in connection to our text now, the Spirit of God wants to really point us and wants to help us to live with eternal values, wants to point us to what is coming, and not only for the rapture, what is coming for us, but also for the revelation, what is coming for Christ, for his glory. And when a world that has rejected the blessed Lord Jesus, when that world will bow its knee to the one that they've rejected, and they can no longer continue to reject him, that's the glorious appearing. And so these two things are set before us in this study. The blessed hope, the rapture, and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when we are controlled by the Spirit, he makes these things precious to us and helps us to live for those days. May it be so for his name's sake.